Welcome to the podcast of the preaching ministry of Life Point Church, led by Pastor Lane Harrison. We pray this ministry is a blessing for your life. For more information about Life Point, please visit lifepointozark.com. For more information and resources from Pastor Lane, please visit mlaneharrison.com.
Take your Bibles this morning and open to the letter of 1 John. I want to talk to you this morning about the newness command. The newness command. I want to look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 17. And I want to read those verses before we continue with the message this morning. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. May God bless the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the obeying of his word today. The newness command. God intends for us to walk in his light as we are completely immersed in his love. This has been his design from the very beginning, because as John will later state, God is love. And as he just stated in verse 5 of chapter 1, God is light. But at the same time, this is a new command. How can a command be both old and new? Well, the answer to that is very simple. Because God's command to love, which is as eternal as his nature, is new with increasing power every time one walks in his light. That's why the Bible tells us his mercies are what? New every morning. That's the power of God in his love for us, friends. You see, this command is both old and new because it is tied to the character and nature of God, who is eternal. And in eternity, there is no old and new as we measure it. It's just eternal. And that's why for us, what is old is new and new is old. But understanding John's progression of thought will help us greatly in understanding and applying his message for us today. You see, the letter begins with a message that was what? Heard, seen, and touched, and ultimately was manifested in Jesus Christ. And what is that message? Verse 5 of chapter 1, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Then he goes on to cast a vision for the life of every Christ follower as a life without sin. I write to you, he says, so that you will not sin. And then he says, but when you do sin, and he reminds us of how it is that this works by the one who is our advocate with the Father, who is our propitiation before God, who is our righteousness by faith, and who is the truth in which we live. You see, by this we learn that all the light of God is made known to us in Jesus Christ. And once this high vision of life with God is set forth, John concludes with the practical application that anyone who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Verse 6. You see, we learn that a Christ follower's aim in all of life is to abide in Jesus, so to walk as he walked. Christians, you need to aim to abide. Aim to abide so you will walk as Jesus walked. When we come to our text today, beginning in verse 7, we read, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning." And just as he stated, the commandment is this: whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way that he walked. So John is taking the truth that we've learned, and now he is turning it back to us to go, did you hear what I said? Do you understand what it means? How are you doing with that in your life? And that's kind of what this passage is all about today, helping us walk it out, if you will. We are commanded to walk in God's light, but we will not walk it in our own strength. No matter how well we think we can do this on our own, only God's love empowers us to walk in His light. You've heard me say this before, Life Point. Why does God give us His commandments? Because without them, we wouldn't have a clue what to do. We wouldn't know. You go, well, I'd figure it out. No, you wouldn't. No, as a matter of fact, you arguing that you would figure it out only proves that you never would. Light or darkness doesn't find light, but light dispels darkness. Jesus commands us so that we know how to live His righteousness, so that we know God's will. And the more God's love consumes a person, the greater His light guides that person. If you can't live in God's light, if you haven't been filled with His love. But when you're being filled with God's love, you will walk in His light. And in increasing measure, to an increasing degree, and to an increasing extent. John implores Christians to consume your life with God's love by abiding in Jesus, so that you will know that you're truly walking in His light. Friends, what I want you to know today and walk away with is simply this: abiding in God's love empowers one to truly walk in His light. Abiding in His love truly empowers one to walk in His light. That old command from the beginning is still good for us today, to love God, and it is manifested in newness every time we walk in God's light. You say, how can you say that? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you are here today that are Christians? You've put your faith in Jesus. And let's even be a little more specific to circumstances in your life where you were wrestling or struggling with something and you said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know why, and I don't even know completely what for outside of the glory of your name, but I'm going to trust you. And in the midst of walking in faith of Jesus Christ, how many of you have found that God's love just did not return to you? You won't ever find that. His love pours out more than you ever will imagine. You see, we can only walk in God's light as we abide in Jesus Christ to be filled with God's love. I want to offer you three ways that true love from God works to lead us in His light and implore you to abide in Christ today. Three ways the true love from God works to lead us in His light. Way number one, verses 7 through 11. True love sources one to walk in God's light. God's true love sources one to walk in God's light. You see, the command of God is eternal, just as God is eternal. And it is both old and new. What John means is just simply that what is true of God, that has always been true of God, is still as true of God as ever today and shall forevermore be. You see, when you trust in Him, He is faithful to lead and to guide you in His life. And the love of God is anchored not just in an action that he commits or practices, but in His very nature and being. Because it doesn't tell us that God loves, it tells us that God is love. And the difference there is not just what He does, but who He is. And he's trying to convince you that his being in nature is worthy of being your being in nature because of Jesus Christ. You see, God's love is anchored in his eternal being, and it is revealed anew with each passing day, with each season of life, with each decision that honors and glorifies him, with every step you take in faithful obedience to him. The love of God is poured out upon us. And as his love takes greater hold within, it always brings more of his light to bear on your life. You see, therefore, the newness of God's old commandment is that the more one abides in his love to walk in his light, the more darkness that passes away because of the light that shines. What happens to the darkness when light shines, friends? It cannot remain. It goes away. That's why you will find over the doorpost as you come into this room on both sides, two words, more Jesus. Which is just a culminating desire for our church, more people to come to faith in Jesus Christ, more Jesus in every person who is walking by faith in Jesus Christ, becoming like him more and more of Jesus covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Look at what he says to explain this. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, He helps us understand this eternal truth by providing for us what I would call a test to discern that if one is truly walking in God's light. And the way that one discerns whether they are in God's love or not is to consider what it is that is produced in their heart through obedience to God. Think about this for a moment, friends. One can claim to be in God's light and even carry out some measure of some type of obedience. But when hate remains, this is the point John is making, no matter how much like God's light their life may seem, John says they remain in darkness. You see, friends, he's helping us here understand the power of obedience to continue where we begin with God. Let me make this a little more practical to you. One of the ways that you can know that your faith in God is that in which you are walking in obedience is what it produces in you when you obey. When you obey the Lord by faith, there is a joy, there is a peace, there is a loving kindness. There's every aspect and fruit of the Spirit is more fulfilled in you. There's a recognition of his love. There's a peace, a love, a joy. All of those things that Galatians speaks of that are fruits of the Spirit, they come to just this flourishment. It's like spring breaks forth within your soul with the fullness of God's being when you walk by faith. And sometimes we walk into those things thinking, God, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I agree with your word in this. I don't know why this is the case, and I don't know where in the world you are going with this. But I'm going to trust you, and you obey. Hope and life spring forth within you. Now, let's flip the coin there. What happens when you obey without faith? You say, God, I don't like this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to, whatever the case may be. And you by the exertion of your will, but with angst therein, with the angst of your mind or your heart or whatever the case may be, you do it, and then in your heart you look at God and go, there, it's done, leave me alone. I know none of y'all have ever done that before. I know a couple of people that have. I'm not calling any names right now. But in your heart, what returns to you in that act, because that's all it is a faithless act, is frustration, likely bitterness. There is not increasing love. There is not increasing joy. In other words, you want to make your case to God as to why he didn't produce when you did the right thing. And the fact of the matter is, you didn't do it for God. You did it for you. You did it to substitute your sacrifice in that act for Christ's sacrifice in his act in your behalf. And you're not actually doing it because you're right with God. You're doing it to try to be right with God. And you won't ever be right enough with God. Your good deeds will never outweigh your bad deeds. Because no matter how many good deeds you produce, your bad deeds have already determined the eternal state of your soul and your nature. That's how you know if you're trusting Christ in your obedience. And sometimes your obedience by faith is the same repetitious practice each and every day, particularly in your devotion time with the Lord, getting up and spending that time, believing that that time and abiding in Christ is the most important thing you can do today, regardless of what decisions stand before you, what challenges arise. That's what we're talking about here. That's how you know if you are abiding in Christ, if the love of God is what's motivating you to walk in the light of God. You see, we can produce a form of light that looks like God's light. Just as Scripture says, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. But when you walk without God's love, you walk in deception, because you remain in darkness. That's what verse 9 teaches us. Now, verse 10 and 11 presents a contrast for us that sets and shows what it is that each one produces when we walk in the light by love and when we walk in the dark. He says to us that the one who loves, and he's not speaking of a love that is an emotion, but rather as God has loved, this person who loves in the way God has loved is the one who abides in light. And in this person, I love this, there is no cause for stumbling. You see that? It's not just about the success or performance of that single step or activity, but he says something of that person that when they do that, within there is no cause for stumbling. What in the world would he be explaining to us in that phrase, but that sin is not ruling in that person because of the light that has pressed the darkness out? This is amazing, friends. This is how John can even say, I'm writing to you so that you may not sin. What? Do you know the Christians that I know? Yes. And then he goes on, but if you do sin, and that's where we begin to get introduced to Jesus and the gospel, and that's why he returns here to say in the person who walks out of God's love, in God's light, within them there is no cause for stumbling. It doesn't mean that they have reached perfection, but it means that in that person, the reality of the gospel is active and it is working in them so that nothing within them makes them stumble or be deceived. It's not because of who that person is, but it is because of as the gospel is working in them. Our best performance of God's righteousness is not because of us, Christian. It's because of Christ. That's why he is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. Now, in contrast, in verse 11, he says the one who hates his brother remains in darkness. I want you to note something about this as well. This is not merely an action produced either. But when he says the one who hates his brother remains, what does he say? In darkness. He doesn't say committing darkness, but in darkness. The actions of his life reveal the habitation of his being. He remains in darkness, a place where he resides. Why? Because this person either does not know or is not remembering the gospel. They're just performing an action. And what is produced for this person is that they do not know where they are going because they're blinded by the darkness, susceptible to and every stumbling potentially possible in their life. Let me tell you, sometimes I have deep thoughts and I have to share them with you because I think they actually help you understand what he's describing in number 11 here, when he's talking about the person who remains with hate in his heart, remains in the darkness. But this is tantamount to you standing at the proverbial bedpost, slamming your small toe continually over it all day long, every day, because you refuse to turn the lights on. And maybe you've never done that. It's painful. I've actually broken my small pinky toe doing that before. John says that's the way you live your life. Miserable, painful, hurting. And we all know what it produces. In here, not good. Out of here, not good. But even more importantly, here, not good. You see, what is produced from a life reveals where that life abides or is sourced from. You see that? The one who holds against others, hate. Hate is to hold something against someone. They hold against others what God has not held against them, because the gospel tells us that by faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. That person is not walking in the light because they've been deceived as they abide in darkness. The one who abides in God's love abides in God's light. And they live at peace because there's nothing in them that can cause them to stumble. Now, let me just pause for a moment on the message and give you a parenthesis here. I want you to understand the definition of love that he is referring to here, because it's provided for us in the text. He is not speaking of that most common understanding of love that we have today as an emotion. But rather, John defines love very clearly for us in two specific ways. The first way John defines love for us is in his gospel, chapter 15, verse 13, when he says that love is a commitment to sacrifice. Love is a commitment to sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's a commitment to sacrifice. And if we consider Jesus as he introduced him to us in the first six verses of chapter 2, the commitment to sacrifice that Jesus made was this. He was our propitiation. He is our righteousness. He is our continual advocate with the Father. He is our truth commanded unto us. You see, love, friends, is not an emotion, but it does produce an emotion. But when emotion gets substituted for love, deception rules the day, because darkness begins to fall with no new light shining forth. And friends, darkness only leaves when light enters. It doesn't matter how much you hate the darkness, and when you abide in the darkness, you will come to hate it. You will know you are in the dark, and you won't know what to do about it, because you think it depends on you. You will hate it. You will hate yourself. You will come to hate God because of it. You will come to hate others because of it. Why? Because you are being filled with the darkness. And hate is what the darkness produces. And if you believe love is principally an emotion or a feeling, you are trapped in the darkness. You see, friends, when emotion defines love, here's what it does. Number one, self becomes the center of your life. You, the world. Not true. And instead of Jesus Christ, feelings now become your metric and your filter for discerning what is good, what is right, what you ought to do, instead of truth. And when this occurs, God then becomes exposed in your own thinking as incapable, unfaithful, and unworthy of your trust and your love for him. Because your emotion wanes, and when emotions wane, love must be leaving. You have no other end to logically conclude. Love is a commitment to sacrifice. The second way John defines love is that he says love is faithfulness and obedience. Love is faithfulness and obedience. How will he tell us in chapter 3 that people know that we love God? When we obey his commands. When we obey his commands. You see, with the wrong definition of love, faithfulness is excused because God is neither worthy nor worth it. And so I say in this parenthesis, make sure your understanding of love is in accordance with the Scriptures. Committed to sacrifice, faithfulness, and obedience. Now, back to today's message. In love, light shines to reveal, to guide, and to provide peace and confidence for one's way. This is what John is teaching us. Darkness blinds and deceives so that one does not know where they're going, which makes them susceptible to whatever got left out on the floor in the darkness. Evil things like Legos. I knew I'd get an amen on that one. And everything becomes an opportunity to stumble. Everything. Walking in God's light, friends, is never determined by how well you perform for God. That's another deception of the evil one. Rather, walking in God's light is determined by how much you abide in Christ to fill your heart and life with God's love. Only God's love empowers one to abide in His light, and to the extent you are filled with His love, it will determine the measure that you will walk in His light. You see, John is imploring Christ followers to focus on filling their life with God's love, abiding, because only His love determines whether you truly walk in His light. That's why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why? Because the focus of your life determines what you will become. What you behold most and what you follow as first will determine what you become like. The love John reminds us of is that Jesus Christ, our propitiation, our righteousness, our advocate, our truth, He is worthy of your trust. Any love, particularly based on feeling, is not fully trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, but it is darkness that deceives. And so this first way of God's love is that abiding in His love sources one to walk in His light. Now, true love not only sources one to walk in God's light, but John reveals to us what it is that it produces in us. And I mentioned this earlier. John returns to that idea to explain it in verses 12 through 14. I want you to see also that true love matures us by walking in the light. It matures us. It changes us. You see, we best understand the power of God's love by how it is that it matures a person, how it is that the love of God changes us ever more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And this power is represented and revealed. It's what John is teaching in verses 12 through 14 when he addresses his readers in what I call this threefold titles of affection of familial relationship. We've already talked about this a little bit in our study, but something John does is he uses titles that are family labels, family relationships, because he's speaking out of a deep love. And he's wanting to communicate that in what he is saying. And here, he uses three: children, father, and young men. You could say children, father, and young adult even. But they reveal for us a progressing maturity. You see, these are not references to age as we typically think about them, but rather, they are references to stages in spiritual development and maturity. And true love changes in its expression because it is maturing the person who lives in it. If you've been a believer in Jesus for any amount of time, you do not love today the way you did love when you first found Him and met Him and were saved by Him. And the way you love tomorrow and every following day, I'm not saying you won't have bad days. You do still have bad days as Christians. But hear me, friends, you learn to love as you have been loved, and the more you understand the depth and the extent and the measure and the degree and all of those other statistics, the more you come to understand God's love for you, the more you live that love for other people. And so the wrong question is, am I trusting Christ to walk in God's light? Because almost immediately we want to say, well, yes. But the question is, when you look at your life and am I walking in God's light, the question is, am I becoming more like Jesus? Because when we obey by faith we are transformed from within into His likeness. Consider what each of these stages represents in God's love. Children are a starting point. As most of you are fully aware, when you are born, you are a child. And some of you stay that way for a period of time. Some of you stay that way for a lot longer period of time. But we're not condemning that. I'm just saying. Children is a starting point, he says. And what do we begin to learn as children? But he says that we learn that our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. This is the most glorious truth. Who, before they've come to know Jesus Christ, hasn't wondered, does God love me? Could God love me? Would God love me? And when you learn the glorious revelation that all three of those are a yes in Jesus Christ, what a glorious revelation. It is the most elementary understanding of God's love and the gospel that we all begin with. The most fundamental of all understandings. We who are separated by sin from God in Jesus Christ have been made alive. We've been born again. We've been reconciled. The old is gone. The new has come. These are all ways that the scripture teaches us of this childhood beginning and following Jesus. And the true sense of our reconciliation is captured where else but in the very roles that are given to us of Jesus Christ. He is our propitiation. That's why we understand, if you remember what I told you that word means, that no measure, no amount of, no piling up of, and no compounding of your good deeds will ever make you right with God. But you don't have to be made right with God. You can't be made right with God. Only Jesus, because He is your propitiation, makes you right with God. And until you trust in His sacrifice, that is your death for your sin, paying your debt in His, Him paying your debt in your place, you cannot know that. The second one is what? That He is your righteousness. It's not your performance, friends. It's your recognition by faith that you are right with God, not because of you, but because of Him. And that in every shortcoming of your life, of which I'm sure your list is shorter than mine, there is one who is interceding based on these two truths. He is bending the ear of the Father, and they are both smiling with great joy and singing over you. Both of those references are biblical because they love you and because you are no longer separated from God in Jesus Christ. Yes, God sings over you with joy. That's why Him being our advocate is so important. And He is our truth. Where else would we look but to Him and to Him alone? These are the lessons we learn as children. And this is where He begins as He writes to you little children, both in verses 12 and 13. And then secondly, He skips kind of to the end. And he says, there's not only a starting point, there's a goal. I write to you fathers. And what does he say? I write to you fathers because you know Him who is from the beginning. You've come to know God. And then he says down below in the second times, because you know Him who is from the beginning. He says, look, a mature believer, one who has come to faith and that faith has taken root and changed them. It is... altering the way you understand not just God and not just yourself, but everything that is. That's the mature perspective. You see, in spiritual maturity, we demonstrate a faith in the fullness of God's eternal nature and His sovereign being. I can remember growing up, there'd be things I could get a little intense and amped up at times. And I remember I talked to my grandparents, and they wouldn't be that upset about it. And I would think it's something they ought to be upset about. They'd be, Lane, let me tell you something. And then they'd dispel some wisdom about what they had seen through the ages, and there was a calmness that they were able to bring. I didn't always immediately calm down, but I tried quickly. You see, friends, a mature Christian is not one with all the answers. Did you hear that? not one with all the answers, but one that understands and processes life by faith in this foundational trust in God's nature and being. You know the Father. You know who He is. You know what He does. You know He is faithful and He is true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You need not allow your dander to get stirred. Trust and rest. Now, in the midst of that, He writes to the young men. And what does He say to the young men? Because you have overcome the evil one. And then the secondly, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. You see, that reference to young men or young adults or that stage of life where the process is taking place is a stage of growth where we strive to advance. You see, God is not against our trying. God says it is our earning that is impossible. But striving is good because in the striving we are advancing and we come to know that we have overcome the evil one, not in our striving, but as you heard it say before, we do not live for victory, but we live where? From victory. We come to learn over and over and over again as we're learning to follow Jesus that He is the one has secured our overcoming. Therefore, we can walk in His light. Our role is to trust and to rest and to obey and watch Him bring the victory, not try to secure the victory and then bring our trophy to Him. This is not an easy lesson because so often I want to default back to not having learned the most fundamental lesson of following Jesus that children learn in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He has done it for me, and I'm going to show Him what I can do for Him. Instead of just humbling myself and being made into the person that He has ordained for me to become because of Jesus Christ. Three stages of spiritual maturity: children, parents, fathers, mothers, young. What a powerful vision of growth and maturity in God's love for us that begins not with how you feel about yourself. It doesn't even begin with how it is you feel about God, but it begins with what you have come to know about God and His love for you through the gospel, such that you put your trust in Him. You see, the more you abide in God's love, the more you walk in the light that changes you to be like Jesus. As I mentioned a while ago, that's why we celebrate here more Jesus, why it's written over our doors. That's what we want to see. We want to see more people come to faith in Jesus Christ. We want to see every person who is a follower of Jesus Christ have more Jesus as the defining characteristic of their life. We want to see more Jesus and His glory and His name covering the earth as the waters cover the sea, as the prophets foretell. You see, friends, you've walked in the path of darkness. You've stumbled on things because you could not see. You felt the hurt that darkness produces. You felt the confusion that it creates, and you've lived in the deception that it puts you. But when the light of the glory of God in Jesus shines in your heart, His love pours out to light the way of this new life with God. And forevermore after, the light of God shines to light the way the more you abide in His love. You see, the more you understand the gospel and apply it to walk in obedience to Jesus by faith, the more you come to know God and the more you trust Him completely. True love from God matures. It transforms, it changes you to become more like Jesus by walking in God's light more fully and faithfully. And I conclude with this. A third way that true love is for us. Is there anything true love rejects? Yes. Yes, there is. Verses 15 to 17 tell us that true love refuses to love the things of the world. John issues a severe warning here, friends, that connects God's love with his light. When we love the world and the things of this world, we do not have the Father's love in us. What are the things of this world? Well, they are identified by our desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. When these things are first to us, it is evidence that God's love is not in us, that we're not abiding and living out of his love. And we must recognize where these desires attack to tempt us, to identify and to reject those temptations, or they will set up within us and take over. The only way to dispel the darkness is to shine the light upon it. These things are not from God, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and they will never coexist alongside God. So when you tolerate them to be filled with them, you become like them, and particularly in the nature of their passing away. That's why the psalmist writes in Psalm 1 that the wicked will perish like chaff blown away by the wind. True love rejects these things because it discerns for truth of which they are not. So true love from God teaches what we are to hate, that which causes us to walk in darkness and pass away. So whether you walk in God's light or darkness will be determined by what you love first and what you love most. Abiding in God's love, that's the key to walking in God's light and to be changed into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, you can't abide in Christ when you're preoccupied by, more interested in, or consumed with the things of this world. True love from God refuses to love the things of this world. Abiding in God's love empowers one to truly walk in his light. Let's pray.